It's been a while since we caught up with Mayor Erin Stewart from New Britain, and it's great to have her on the program. You know, we'll get to the specific news reason to have the mayor on, but let's first just say hello. Mayor Stewart, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you? I always appreciate you pronouncing New Britain correctly.
I used to spend, you know, my first TV job back in 02 was doing sports for Channel 30, and I spent a ton of time in New Britain. I bought my car at Shaler Honda, and I spent a ton of time at the stadium, did stories on a bunch of Twins prospects. So I knew New Britain pretty good. Listen, how's the family? How's the baby? How's everything going?
Oh, man, we're in the thick of it over here in my household. So we got a four-year-old and a just about 10-month-old, and everybody's good. We're enjoying the summer, making the most of it, lots of beach trips down to the shoreline, but we're going to soak up the last couple of weeks before school starts up again.
Yeah, I'm a classic New Englander. I feel like summer's over on July 4th. I'm so cynical about it. I'm sad. August is a sad month for me. But, you know, we haven't caught up in a while. I'll get to the Instagram post and Eversource in a second. Yeah. But, in terms of New Britain, you know, just what's happening? I mean, I was there in the spring for a couple of things. Anything new in town? Any updates on construction or what's happening?
Oh, man, I'd need more than a quick segment for that. But we have a ton of construction that's happening in town. A lot of new housing projects and developments in our downtown area that are going up. We have two notable ones happening right now, two pretty significant construction projects, one called the Brit, one called the High Railer. I tell everybody, you know you've made it when you have these buildings that have, you know, single names now. But both of which will be mixed-use projects. They are in the heart of downtown. You see them as soon as you get off the fast-track station there. Over just about 200 units altogether when it will be completed. And first floor will be retail and restaurant space. So those should be complete within the next couple of months. And we're just rocking and rolling. I mean, I have a ton of infrastructure projects happening around town. It's nice when people's biggest complaint is, I can't go anywhere without seeing construction. And I say, pardon our appearance, we'll be good soon.
Well, now with those residential units, like, and again, it's private enterprise, but are they all already rented out or sold? Or like, because I talk with Kajano in Bristol, too. It's like, everything's always pending. Like, I'm ready for this stuff to get up and running and get, you know, butts in beds, if you will. You know, like, are these all going to be occupied out of the gate?
So the building is not, they started pre-leasing. It's not 100% complete yet. So I believe they're about 40% full with their pre-leasing and looking like it should be, the first building should be open within the next, I'll say, 2 months for a final CO. And then the second building, probably another 3 to 4 months, but they haven't started pre-leasing that one yet. However, I don't anticipate they will have much problems filling it.
Yeah, that's good. All right, listen, I want to get to this Instagram post. Actually, you know, since, you know, we're a full-service endeavor here, you know, a lot of our listeners, they might not be on social media, they might not be on Instagram. Sure. We're just going to play the audio right now from that post.
Couple reasons. First, for years, the legislature has been using the utilities as secondary tax collectors. They're creating all sorts of different utility fees that actually pay for state budget shortfalls, even though they have nothing to do with our energy usage. The legislature calls them public benefit fees, but let's be real, it's just a hidden tax that hides elected officials from real accountability. I also discovered that our bills went up because during COVID, one of the governor's executive orders prevented utilities from turning power off on people if they didn't pay their bills. Okay, I get that. But for whatever reason, they waited to lift that moratorium until years later, and people took full advantage. The cost of that blunder is over $200 million to Eversource, and now we're paying for it. And the worst part? We can't even do anything about it, except for vote for different elected officials. Does that sound fair to you?
Okay, so this is interesting. The first question, and again, you're a smart cookie, so there's always political calculation here. You don't post, you know, five times a day. I mean, you decided that this is something important enough, and you had something to say about it. Why?
Well, it started the night before when I took a picture of I shared with everyone in the shock value when I opened up my Eversource bill for the month, and I saw that it doubled. And I looked at my husband and I went, is this wrong? And I'm starting to read through it. I'm like, this can't be right. Like, there's no way our usage increased by that much. This is ridiculous. And I start reading through it and I go, you know, I had a WTF moment. I said, what is this public benefits charge? And so anyways, I took a picture of it. I posted it on social media. Did not expect it to get the amount of feedback that it received. Next thing you know, I've got hundreds of comments of people asking me, Aaron, can you find out why? So I made a couple phone calls that night and did some research, found out why. And the next morning when I got in the office, I said, you know what? There's so many people asking. Let me make a quick video just explaining what I figured out last night. But I also know and understand that I only have very brief moments in time for attention spans. So I tried to make it as summarized and as succinct as possible. And, you know, everything that I said was factual. I know there's many that, you know, had an issue with what I said. There was a lot of deflection that started to happen afterwards. But I think it was a clear and concise moment for people to understand exactly why their bills went up this month in July of 2024.
Well, there's a couple things. You don't have to react. You can react if you want. I mean, from, you know, I think it does a couple things. You're a mom and you help run a household and you're not necessarily independently wealthy. So these things matter. And I think people connect with that as a human being, right? So you're the mayor of a city, but you're also a human being trying to balance a household budget. And I think that's really relatable. But from a political standpoint, I mean, to me, it's not even really veiled, but I mean, it's a bit of a shot at the governor. And I think that's pretty clear too. And I feel like you're in an interesting situation, and we don't talk often enough, so I end up asking you this or getting around to it. But my sense is, I don't know yet about Lamont what he's going to do, but you're clearly, I'm assuming that if he ran for a third term, you wouldn't run. This is me talking, and that if he doesn't run, then you're in. And I'm just saying, and you're carving out your space here. I mean, just if you want to comment on it, please comment on it any way you want.
I think everybody, you know, it's like this guessing game of what Lamont is going to do. I don't know that he is necessarily as popular as what he thinks that he is. I think that my collective frustration in this is coming from just a regular Connecticut taxpayer and a regular Connecticut working resident who's struggling to live here. And I just don't think that things are as rosy as they may seem, especially with the families that I deal with and the people that I talk to on a daily basis who are like me. I mean, they're working families, they're husbands and wives, that their household, they're working two jobs and still struggling to make ends meet. So, you know, when it comes to
would
the
you
future,
would you potentially challenge him if he ran for a third term, or would you continue to wait?
I wouldn't rule anything out. I don't think I've made any secret about it, you know, that it's something that I am seriously considering. I'm just, you know, I don't know that I'm 100% there yet. I think looking at this November's elections is going to be a sure that will be a deciding factor, I think. I think there's a lot of things that will come into play. But, you know, timing is everything.
Yeah. I mean, again, we're out of time, but I think the extended conversation, I mean, I talked to a lot of Republicans in Connecticut. It's a tough spot for many to deal with the Trump question. I don't have the time to give that now. But, I mean, in some ways, you know, Trump being in office or not running is, if you don't have to answer that question, it makes your life easier, right?
I suppose, but I think that lately we're all not really afraid to answer it because of how left-wing the Democrats and those candidates are, especially with the new vice presidential pick. So I'm a moderate, and I will tell you one thing. Kamala Harris is nowhere near moderate. She makes Donald Trump look pretty moderate to me.
Mayor Stewart, I heard a little coo there in the interview too, and I mean, kudos to you. I don't know how honestly women do it. Yeah, say hi. Hi, what's your name?
Say hi. Hey, this is Nikki. This is Dominic, Nick. My son. He's 10 months.
Sorry. So wait, you have and your 4-year-old is
Lena. She's four, Lena. And she is me, and I get everything I deserve with her.
Well. Wait till she's 14. It's going to get worse.
Awesome.
Erin, thank you so much, Mayor Stewart, for joining us. We always appreciate the catch up. And and we also appreciate your candor and your the wherewithal to be candid with your politics. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. I'll be back soon.
All right. Erin Stewart, Mayor of New Britain, joining us here.